Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is true that I was the only one in the radio to warn you about the war on police yesterday. And unfortunately, many of my most loyal, dedicated listeners were not listening yesterday. They figured, look, it's the last week of August. You know, there's no news. Well, there's a lot of news. There is a war on police. It was started by Obama, Holder, Sharpton, de Blasio, and the others who are calling for a war on police. There is now an epidemic of police shootings, another one now north of Chicago. And I think it's very important that we have this discussion again today, mixed in with all the other news, including the liar-in-chief who is pushing his climate change lie in order to screw the world out of billions of dollars. And I can prove it in several different ways, which I will do as the show emerges. But the issue is another police officer was killed today, and it's not happening by accident. I got to go back in time because I've been in America a very long time, meaning I've spanned several generations. When I was a kid in the 1950s, nobody killed a cop. And the reason nobody ever killed a cop in New York City in particular was because if that happened, and it did happen rarely, I suppose, the city would come to a halt. And I was told by my father the reason none of the criminals ever killed police, ever, is because the entire city will stop. Every policeman in the city will put on the beat to find that person. And that person or persons responsible for killing a cop will automatically get the death penalty. The judges were Americans then. The police were Americans then. Americans were Americans then. And now, because of liberalism, the mental disorder, these are situations that have emerged into something entirely different. The situation has changed, in other words. And so, no, there is no around-the-clock manhunt. There's no guarantee that there'll be a death penalty because of the vermin in the ACLU and the other liberal political organizations that always have sympathy for the devil. Speaking of sympathy for the devil, today Kate Steinle's parents filed, well, I had a press conference saying they're going to file legal claims against San Francisco, the sheriff, Murky Kami, and federal officials in the Pierce shooting death of her daughter, Kate. You remember that little story? Oh, you forgot it already? The alleged murderer, Jan Francisco Lopez Sanchez, a 45-year-old Mexican national who had been deported five times for multiple felonies, released by Sheriff Murky Kami when the charges were dropped because of the city's sanctuary laws. Well, the parents held a press conference today, and we know what's going on now. And the alleged shooter, Juan Francisco Lopez Sanchez, said the shooting was accidental. He said he found the .40 caliber gun on the pier by his feet, and it accidentally went off. Well, we learned afterwards that the .40 caliber gun had been stolen from a Bureau of Land Management ranger during a car break-in. Who's the ranger? Who is the moron in the BLM who has not yet been fired and tried for carelessness? Who is the BLM agent who lost the .40 caliber gun that Mr. Juan Francisco Lopez Sanchez said he found underneath his feet? Well, anyway, they had a press conference. And now there's a manhunt for the killers of another cop. And the reason there's open season on cops is because of the war on police that was started by Barack Obama, Eric Holder, who was then Attorney General and now is enjoying a multimillion-dollar-a-year reward for his great work as a lawyer, Al Sharpton, the street thug, turned national political hero by Obama, and others who have called for a war on police. So criminals are no longer afraid of police for two reasons. They know that the police are intimidated by the vermin lawyers from NYU and Columbia who will put a policeman in jail for doing his job. You see, the new rule in America is the cop is hesitating, and as you well know, if you hesitate with a bad guy, you're going to lose. It's that simple. Well, that's exactly what Obama and Holder and Sharpton, de Blasio and others have wanted. And now there's a war on police who are reluctant to draw their gun, reluctant to take down a criminal for fear of a lawsuit by the vermin rats in the ACLU, all of whom should be deported and all of their assets seized, in my opinion. But you ought to thank God I'm only a talk show host with very strong and loud opinions. You ought to thank God I have no power in this country, because the first thing I would do is decouple the ACLU from the legal system. That is the first thing that needs to be done. Decouple these communist rats from the legal system. Were they ever elected? Did you ever go to a polling place and were you given an option to vote for these communist anti-American vermin, these anti-Christian lawyers, these anti-American lawyers? Have you ever been given that option? And yet they're more powerful than the Supreme Court in determining which way this nation goes. One of the first things I would do is I would immediately indict them for various crimes and let them defend themselves. That's the first thing I would do. But I'm not a presidential candidate. I'm only a talk show host. It's one man's opinion. Never forget that. And so, again, here we are. Cops are dead. Another one dead. All because of the individuals I mentioned. And I did this for 3 hours yesterday. I wake up today saying I'm not going to do it again. And then I wake up to this. Manhunt underway north of Chicago for 3 suspects in the murder of a police officer. Armed gunman. Traffic stop, shot him, stole his gun, stole his gear, and ran into the woods. No pictures yet of any of them. We don't know who they are. We don't know what they look like. They're described as 2 white males and 1 black male, but further than that, we don't know. Let's hope that there was some body cameras or helmet cameras in that department, which will show it, show who they are. But I want to go back to yesterday, because many of you missed my finest moment, one of my finest moments on radio. And I'm not going to do this to the exclusion of all the other news. There's a lot of it, by the way. I want to play for you a montage from yesterday, which will be self-explanatory. Jim, fire it, please.
Since Ferguson and the task force that we put together, we have seen too many instances of what appears to be police officers interacting with individuals, primarily African-American, often poor, in ways that raise troubling questions.
And you don't judge the fight on one round. Even if we get knocked down, we get up and go to the corner and come out fighting the next round. You won the first round, Mr. Prosecutor, but don't cut your gloves off, because the fight's not over. Justice will come to Ferguson.
Our police officers cannot be and cannot be seen as an occupying force disconnected to the communities that they serve.
I'm looking for 10,000 in the midst of the million. 10,000 fearless men who say death is sweeter than continued life under tyranny. Death is sweeter than to continue to live and bury our children.
What parents have done for decades, this who have children of color, especially young men of color, is train them to be very careful when they have a connection with a police officer, when they have an encounter with a police officer.
We cannot just go from episode to episode, city
Street
to city.
Thug.
There must be a national response. The federal government must come in and intervene on the issues of criminal justice and policing.
And we must rise up and kill those who kill us.
Oh,
Stop them and kill them. Let them feel the pain of death that we are feeling.
When anybody in this country is not being treated equally under the law, that's a problem. And it's my job as president to help solve it.
All right, you get the picture. In a broad stroke, you get the picture. Michael Savage wrote Stop the Coming Civil War a year ago. I warned you that Obama had an intention, and he has conducted a civil war against all civil aspects of this society from the day he seized power. From the day he was foisted upon us by forces we will never, ever comprehend, this man has had a vendetta against the institutions that have made this nation great. And one of the institutions that stands in the way of his total and complete takeover of this nation are the local police forces in the country. He has already decapitated the military, which is why they're not fighting ISIS. There's some grumbling down below the colonel level from those who say we could have knocked ISIS out in a week. But no one's asking questions in the media, are they, Mr. Roger Ailes, as to why the President of the United States is not taking down ISIS, not yet a subject on the great Fox News network. I dismiss all the other networks because they were dismissed by the American people of a thinking nature a long time ago. But the last link that we had of any hope was the Fox News network until it was destroyed completely in the recent past by a new management and a new management style. It is now the CNN of our time. They will not ask the real questions, which is why is there a war on the police? Did Obama's rhetoric have anything to do with it? Why is ISIS still functioning? Why is the U.S. military never, ever, ever been given the targets of the training camps to attack? The U.S. Air Force could eliminate these training camps in a very, very short period of time, killing everybody in them or destroying them so they're useless. We even know where the camps are. I saw a map of them the other day. And yet your president, the commander-in-chief, will not offer a strike against them. But now we go back to the war on police. And the reason Obama wants a war on police is so evident to anyone with the ability to reason that I'll lay it out for you if you can't think. And it's as simple as this. He wants to show how bad the police are against minorities. You see, most of the police in America are white, and that's a crime to Barack Obama. You understand that. He has a racial lens on his iris, and he can only see things through a racial lens. It's worked for him. If you read his own autobiography, he said he really didn't have a racial consciousness when he was a young biracial man in Hawaii. He never thought about it. And then something happened after being a pot-smoking, wayward youth in Pepperdine University, I believe, when he was an ordinary American kid, not political, he said in his own autobiography. He went to Columbia University, a once great university, which has become a cesspool of anti-Americanism. And at Columbia University, he joined in with the communists, the white commies and the black radicals, and he grew his hair out. He said his own words now, I'm not making anything up. And he said he noticed something happened. People were suddenly paying attention to him in a different way. And look where it got him. Just look how far it got him. It worked for him. Now, if you were him, would you stop the rhetoric of your youth if it's made you the president of the United States? What would have you stop it? It doesn't matter how many countries die or how many people die. All that matters is that you're having a grand old narcissistic time. And on that note, I'll take a break. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Extra, extra, hear all about it. Another cop killed by another group of thugs, killed during a traffic stop. War on police rages while Obama talks about saving the polar bears. The Dow is down 400 points. We're talking about the war on police triggered by this radical administration well over a year ago as part of their overall plan to eliminate local police departments and federalize them so that we have the equivalent of the SA and the SS reporting only to their Führer. That's how it works, you see? And if you like the way the Mexican federales operate, hey, get used to it, buddy, because that's what Obama has in mind for the United States of America. One gigantic federalized police force reporting to Al Sharpton. Can you imagine? You say it can't happen here? Well, my friends, wake up. It happened while you were here. Now let's go to my time in America. This would never have happened in my time when I was a kid. If a cop was shot in New York City when I was a boy, the entire city would come to a halt. And at the time, there were, what, 20 or 30,000 police? Every cop, whether they were off duty or on duty, would be called in, and there'd be an around-the-clock manhunt. And moreover, the underworld would put their own resources to finding that cop killer because they understood that it was very bad for business. And so even the underworld, the criminals work with the cops to get the cop killer. The criminals, the real criminals or the real criminal organizations never, ever shot a cop. And when they did find him, let me tell you something. There was no bleeding heart lawyer from NYU or Columbia telling us about the bad childhood the cop killer had. Let me tell you something else. If we don't go back to the times that I lived in, there'll be no times for you to live in at all. Charlie on WABC, what's your point? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike, I'm your age. I was born and raised in New York City, and when I was a kid, I was told by my father and my uncles, who were cops, that if you killed a cop, never mind making it to court, you didn't make it to court, because a lot of them were shot attempting to escape, if you get my drift. But the word was out. You just didn't kill cops, because you were dead. You were a dead man if you killed a cop.
So this brings us to the question of the day. Why are criminals now so emboldened that they kill cops?
Because they know they can get away with it. You know, they know there's no consequence.
They know that even if they're caught, Marvin from the ACLU will plead their case, and they will never pay the penalty for that cop killing. Because the vermin in the ACLU have decimated the legal system and have destroyed and intimidated the police in America. It's a shocking truth. It's a horrible reality, but it's all part of the war against America by Barack Obama and his minions of leftist fanatics. I see it as clear as a bell. There is no doubt in my mind that this is an orchestrated war against the police that was triggered by the man in the White House. And I'm not asking anyone to agree or disagree. That is my opinion. It's that simple. I don't need any confirmation for what I see to be real. How do you like that? I'm not going to pretend that I really don't know what's going on and I need your opinion. I don't really need your opinion. I understand exactly what happened. I know that this maniac wants this to happen. Oh, I don't mean actually kill police. I know he gave some heartfelt statement last night about, let's see, which cop killing was that one? Oh, the one in Texas, that's right. When that white cop was shot in the back of the head by a black man. Yeah, I think even Obama had to come up from the ice cream and give a speech on that one. Well, now he's up in Alaska renaming mountains for political purposes. You understand what he's doing up there, don't you? He's a community organizer. He's organizing the Inuits who don't vote to make sure that they vote for a Democrat, socialist, Islamist from here on into the future. Do you understand what he's doing? He's agitating in Alaska.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
So Obama's up in Alaska renaming mountains and putting out the fraudulent information about global warming in order to push that lie. I'll give you a little evidence to that effect if you're a doubter about what I'm saying to you. He's up there talking about global warming and how the world's coming to an end, melting sea ice and this and that. And at the same time, story on CNN says Obama wants new Coast Guard icebreakers in the Arctic. So I scratched my head and said, wait a minute, if all the ice is melting because of global warming, I thought, why does their dear leader, need new icebreakers? Because he's a liar. That's all, a liar and a fraud. It's as simple as that. See, the United States once had 7 icebreakers in its fleet. But now because the military has been downsized and deballed, it has only 2 icebreakers that are functional. Russia has 40 icebreakers, with 11 more planned under construction. And so, Presidente will call on Congress to approve funding for replacing a new heavy icebreaker by 2020. Now, what does he need icebreakers for? They're designed to cut through open water ice and are in high demand as industries push closer to exploration of either of the Earth's poles, according to the Coast Guard. So in other words, the glaciers are melting, they're going to disappear, the animals are going to all die, but they need icebreakers anyway. Which one is true, Mr. Obama? The answer is, can you ever get the truth out of a skilled liar, a rhetorician like him? But let's go back to the war on police, which he triggered, in order to make certain that police resign, police are intimidated, his thugs are empowered in the streets. Do you understand how dangerous this is for you, the average citizen? I was recently in New York, 2 weeks ago, and on the surface, New York is a beautiful city. But right under the surface, there is a menacing presence that can be felt by anyone who has a nervous system. Right under the surface, there are the guys with the cups, shaking the cups in your face. Right outside Central Park, right inside Central Park, up and down 7th Avenue. They're shaking the cups, but I guarantee you they have a box cutter inside their coat. And I guarantee you they'll cut your purse right off your body or cut the wallet right out of your pants if they sense that you're weak and that you have something of value. It's a jungle that is kept in check only by the police, the thin blue line, which de Blasio has attacked repeatedly along with his leftist cohorts. And you know, there are consequences to rhetoric. The consequences now are dead police. And I want to play for you, for those of you who were unable to listen to the show yesterday because you're on a long weekend, part of the 3 hours I spent dedicated to stopping this war on police. Let's hear it. If I don't like it, I'll cut it off. Let's play it. He has not called for the end of the killing of police by black radicals. He is behind it as sure as I'm standing here. Now, you have to understand how this all works. I laid awake in bed last night and I said this is all part of his master plan. And remember, I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War. He has neutralized the military by decapitating the active leadership of the military. He has only yes girls running the military, and that includes the men who are left. He has fired any general that would have stood up to him. He has gotten rid of any admiral who could have blown the whistle on Benghazi. He has decapitated the military the same way Stalin did, the same way every other dictator did. Except in dictatorships, they just shot them. Here, they smear them and fire them. Make no mistake about it, this very dangerous revolutionary Marxist in the White House has deballed our military, and that is why they're not fighting the war against ISIS. That's number one. So he lets ISIS rage across the Middle East, and in America, he releases the mobs on the white police in order to corral them and keep them because they are the only ones who could possibly stand up to what he has coming and what he has in mind. If you actually think that this dangerous revolutionary Marxist in the White House is simply going to go quietly into the night in 2016, you are crazy. You are mistaken. He has much more damage ahead for this country. I warn you. He has deballed the police, he has deballed the military, and he's doing it all so that we, the people, are backed into a corner. That's one man's opinion. This is a federal plot to take over the police force, to federalize all local police forces, because they are largely white policemen. This is all about racism from Barack Obama, who is clearly the most racist president you could ever imagine, occupying the highest office in the land. And if you think I'm the only one saying it, well, I really don't care if I'm the only one saying it. But I won't be the only one saying it tomorrow. Because millions of you understand that what I just said to you is 100% true.
Well, that was yesterday's, a piece of yesterday's show. And I don't, my opinion is the same today as it was yesterday. And I never thought I'd wake up to another cop dead. If you care to chime in on this subject, the phone number is 855-400-7282. Let's go to New York City. Ryan, go ahead. What's on your mind?
How are you, Dr. Savage? I just want to let you know and let the people know that me and all the New York City and everywhere throughout the United States, I'm a police officer. We're going to do our job every day. We're going to protect black, white, liberals that shouldn't be protected. And unfortunately, our animal president, I will be there every day to do my job. I put my uniform on, and I guarantee you every police officer in the United States will do the same. Thank you. Have a good day, sir.
Okay. I'm glad you're going to do your job. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it with de Blasio as a mayor who hates police. I don't understand how you can do your job when the criminal has more rights than you do, with the cockamamie, lunatic, pothead drug addicts in the ACLU jumping on your back every time you defend yourself. That's why the bums get the beat on you. That's why the street rats are able to kill you. Stop and frisk worked very well. It worked real well in New York. And then they came along, it was racist. Well, it wasn't racist. Anyone who looked suspicious, they shook down, had a gun, they threw him in jail, took the gun away. If it turned out that there were more minorities that had guns than others, that wasn't racism, it's what was. You can't twist everything into racism unless you're a sick degenerate. You can't make everything into a racist story unless you're mentally disturbed. Are you now, or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
Are you now, or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party? Are you now, or have you ever been a racist? Are you now, or have you ever been a racist? So the left is now conducting a new form of McCarthyism, giving everybody your litmus test, looking for racism under every rock, finding racism in the latest study, even amongst the blind. Yeah, I got that report this morning. A genius sociology professor who in my day would have been sweeping floors in Creedmoor Mental Hospital, but now she's a professor of sociology at some college somewhere. She determined through her great scientific studies that even blind people can be racist. I swear to God, this is how far this has gone. This is how far the madness of the Stalinism that has emerged in America has gone. Even blind people can be racist, according to these sickos. Okay, let's go to the next callers. I don't want to take the most, let us say, angry calls about the dead police, but let's take some of them because some of them are worth hearing. Let's go to Lou. I don't want to just do New York. I need other. Here we go. Well, I don't know. That's a little hot to take. MAL, Washington, D.C. James, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I just wanted to bring up the potential second order effects of this. And that is, I have a brother-in-law that was a city cop in Memphis, Tennessee for 8 years. Several commendations, a good policeman. And his friend was the one that got killed in Memphis. And he has subsequently quit the force and moved to a small town in Alabama to become a deputy sheriff. And I really feel like that, you know, that
probably... Is that because Memphis is run by liberals who are letting the gangs rage out of control?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right under the surface.
I really think...
Right under the surface on Beale Street. Right under the surface on Beale Street, you take your life in your hands while you're munching on a rib.
Absolutely.
All right, I hear you. I love Beale Street when I was down there when I visited the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial. It's an astounding place to visit. And I'll never forget my visit down there, but I didn't know that that city was that dangerous. I should have known, but I really didn't pay attention to that. I enjoyed the ribs and beer, frankly, and the visit to the memorial. But we're talking about the war on police. And the reason police are being killed are, there's a couple of elements I have to reiterate. One, because the federal government has debased the police in America. We'll just say the federal government, so I don't have to say Obama anymore. You know who the villains are. The federal government has conducted an unending propaganda war against our thin blue line. That's number one. Number two, the vermin in the ACLU and other civil liberties organizations who are the friends of the criminals, and as far as I can tell, actually are funded by criminals. The best I can figure out is these civil liberties groups are generally funded through front groups that are really funnels for criminal organizations. But that's a subject for another individual at another time, and I don't want to go into it right now. They're not really altruistic. They're working on behalf of the gangs and the actual gangsters in order to make the job of the police that much harder. And number three reason is that the police are so intimidated by a threat of a lawsuit. The criminals know that. The criminals also know that if they do kill a cop or hurt a cop or beat up a cop, if they're caught, they're going to get off with a light sentence, if no sentence at all, because of the climate of hatred that has been disseminated by the federal government. And I'll rest at that point. Now let's go to line number five, Sterling on BAP in Dallas. What's on your mind, Sterling? Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. I wrote a list here of all the things that I'd like, so if you'll give me a little time.
Well, I don't know that I'm going to give you a little time. Why don't you start with the top two?
All right. The police have become a domestic army. They shoot everybody, and they don't shoot to cripple. They shoot to kill. They're wrong. Rarely are any policy changes made to reflect this misconduct or abuse.
Okay, I know you're reading from a script given to you by a group. So your position is the police are no good.
I'm sitting in a goody-goody truck delivering liquor. I wrote it myself.
Okay, so why do you have a vendetta against the police? Are you an ex-con?
No, sir. I have no vendetta. Actually, most of my family are in law enforcement, fire department, DEA.
Uh-huh. So why do you feel the police are no good?
Well, I was born in Dallas, and I was basically the black sheep of the family. I was known to abuse the laws myself. But that gave me an insight to watch.
So, in other words, you're a criminal, and you're not like the good ones in your family, so you've always been antisocial.
Yes, I've always been antisocial, but I was a teenager.
All right, no, at least you're an honest man. That's one thing I like about antisocial people is they're generally more honest.
Well, I try. I had a life change when I was about 24. I'm 44 now. I'm used to being honest, you know. But I had an uncle who worked for the Terrell Sheriff's Department, and he told me back when I was young, and the only person that actually applies for a job, at least in the country, are people that are too lazy to do any other job except for work for the sheriff, or they have the propensity to be bullies, in which case they want to put the physical abuse on people. Tells me that
I'm not going to look. I can argue with you and say it's not true, and you'll say it is true, and we'll argue around in a cup. So I know your opinion is that of a small number of people in America, maybe a larger number than I'd like to believe. And so what would you propose, that we have no police at all? Would you like anarchy?
Well, if I may, prior to World War II...
Well, no, let's forget World War II. Would you rather we not have any police in America, like the ACLU wants, disarm the police? Would you like to see police with no weapons?
No, sir. Matter of fact, I think if Obama has his way and takes the weapons from the people, it's going to paint a huge target on the backs of the police. The police are both good and bad. The idea.
Right, so now you're saying something different. So now you're saying they're not all bad. You're saying the police may be not perfect, but they're a necessary evil. Would that be a way to look at it?
That's an excellent way to look at it. And yesterday during programming.
And let me ask you, as a person who was once in trouble with the law or antisocial, however you want to put it, don't you agree that if there were no police, the animals in the street would take people down like sheep? They would just gut them in the streets and take everything from them openly?
It wasn't that way prior to World War II. The strong took care of themselves, the police
Yeah, but where are the strong today? Tell me where the strong are today. Tell me where the strong are today in this drug-addicted society of ours. Tell me where are the strong. Who are the strong?
Behind thick doors.
Where are the strong men today? Where are they? Where'd they go?
They're hiding behind thick doors and lots of money, sir, so that they don't have to be involved with these leper.
Well, that's an interesting observation. Very interesting observation, and I think you're a very intelligent, articulate individual, and I do thank you for a position that's different than mine, but I think you've made your point, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Meanwhile, on the Hillary front, a new report that she intentionally originated and distributed highly classified information. Her game is that it was not classified at the time she did it. Don't you love that? Don't you just love it that although it's classified now, it wasn't classified then? Well, what was in this information? What about the one she deleted that we can't see? Is there anything there? Who knows? You'll never get to the bottom of it because power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And frankly, they all protect themselves. It's that simple. Manhunt underway after the cop was shot outside Chicago. They still haven't found the guys. The stock market is down 500 points again. Down again. No Democrat debates allowed because it's a one-party communist system where there are no debates. Hillary Clinton would be the perfect leader for North Korea where there are no debates. She's the only candidate, and no one needs to know her idea. She's just so perfect. And so that's your Democrat Party, zero debate. One thing about the Republican Party, you can laugh at them all you want, but you have numerous candidates, and they're fighting with each other, which is the sign of a healthy democracy. The Democrat Party is the sign of an unhealthy dictatorship along the lines of Jerry Brown's California, where there is no debate and a one-party system. Hour two coming up, be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is hour number two of The Savage Nation on this, what is today, Tuesday? If it's Tuesday, it must be San Francisco. Welcome to the program. Let me go from the war on police being conducted by the federal government and their liberal cohorts. Another cop was shot dead. Manhunt, of course, on the way. I want to go to my website, michaelsavage.com, which I learned from Alexa today is, I think, number 500 in the whole world, which is very big. Because my radio competitor's website, Sean Hannity, is something like, I don't know, 16,000 or something. Now, I mean, his show is bigger than mine because he has more stations and all of that. But, I mean, a fact is a fact. Why is this little website so popular? Well, it's a picture website, and it's refreshed three or four times a day by myself and the people at WorldNet Daily, who are the webmasters. But I want to read you some of the stories and headlines on michaelsavage.com, and then we'll get back to your calls at 855-407-2282. Top right. Donald Trump on Savage Show tomorrow, Wednesday, which is a picture of myself and Mr. Trump, and, of course, my dog, Teddy. I say, of course, because he's always with me wherever he can be. And it's a great picture. Next one says 59% back Trump on deportation of illegals. Really, that's shocking. Kate Steinle's parents plan to file legal claims against San Francisco and Sheriff Merky Comey and the federal officials who let the illegal alien go free. Good for them. Democrat congressman echoes Chamberlain. Iran deal will bring peace in our time. Well, let's hope so. I kind of doubt it. Here is a tragically horrendous story. Murder of elderly couple in Sicily fuels Italy's growing anti-immigrant sentiment from the London Telegraph. And take a guess who slit the throats of this elderly couple in Sicily. They were pensioners. They had worked all their lives in Germany in a Mercedes plant. They went home to live out the few years they had left in Sicily. An 18-year-old African migrant from the Ivory Coast, who was in Italy only a short period of time, allegedly slit the throat of Vincenzo Solano, 68, and then attacked his wife, Mercedes Ibanez, 70. Mrs. Ibanez fell to her death from a second-floor balcony as she ran away from the robbers. The murderer, or the alleged murderer, the African asylum seeker from the Ivory Coast, Mr. Camara, is one of thousands of illegal aliens and refugees living at nearby Mineo in southeastern Sicily. They're arriving by boat from Libya. And I'll just rest my case right there. I ran into a young Sicilian young man a few months ago working in a restaurant that my friend owns in San Francisco. And I asked him, why did you leave Sicily? Your family is there. Don't you miss? He said, I miss my family and friends very much. He said, but there's no work for me in Sicily. They're giving whatever little work there is to illegal aliens from Africa. I said, who's giving them the jobs? He said, the liberals in Sicily. I said, liberals in Sicily? He said, yes. The liberals in Sicily have taken over the government. So what's left? More than 100,000 refugees have arrived by boat in Italy this year. Can you, anyone listening to this show tell me that Europe will survive another 20 years? Can anyone listening to the show tell me that Europe will be a civilized place in 20 years? Can anyone listening to the show tell me there will be new art of the magnitude that Europe is world famous for? Or will Europe descend into chaos and become another third world hellhole, all a result of the liberalism that has plagued and infected the entire Western world? Gianluca Bonanno, with the Northern League, a staunchly anti-immigrant party of the right, says Italians fear for their lives inside their own homes. And he said, this is Renzi's national security strategy. What kind of country are we living in? We can ask the same question about Obama. What kind of country are we living in when we have no national security strategy? When he is flooding America with illegal aliens and refusing to take the war to the enemy called ISIS. A relative told La Stampa newspaper the murdered couple had returned from living in Germany to enjoy their retirement in Sicily,
They shouldn't have died like this, slaughtered like goats. And there, my friends, is the face of Europe under the EU thugs operating in a bubble. Also on michaelsavage.com on the top left is a picture of myself with a new hat, new suit, new shirt, new smile with my new book, Government Zero, which will not be out until October. I wish we could move it up because it's my most important and my last nonfiction book. It follows Stop the Coming Civil War. The subtitle says it all, no borders, no language, no culture. But if it was just a repeat of what I had written before, I wouldn't have written it. And I don't want to go into it now because it's too soon, but I would recommend this. If you're a collector of Michael Savage's books and you want to get this last nonfiction book and you want a first printing of it, buy it now on Amazon or one of the other sites where it can be available, because if they sell out the first printing, it'll be a second printing. And I think that there's a value to first printing books as a writer. Now, here's an interesting story I stumbled upon this morning. Not the icebreakers, not Obama, not Trump, not Virginia. Oh, Virginia environmentalist follows in Soros and buys into beleaguered fossil fuel. Another phony. Another billionaire environmentalist who made a fortune in another field is now buying bankrupt St. Louis-based Patriot Coal for $400 million following a major investment in coal by the billionaire liberal activist George Soros. So they ran the price of coal down by running coal out of America, and then they ran in and scooped up the coal companies. But here's the story that really caught my eye. Daily Caller, Kerry Pickett. Emails show Blumenthal pushed son's anti-Israel activism on Hillary. This is an amazing story. Anti-Jewish state Jew advising Hillary is my headline. Let me repeat it in case you can't follow the bouncing rhetoric. The State Department's August email dump, a former secretary of hate, Hillary Clinton, included numerous communications with close confidant Sid Blumenthal, who often passed along his son Max's anti-Israel articles. Now remember, Blumenthal's Jewish. His crazy liberal son is a Jew. But you got to hear what the crazy liberal Jewish son did. The older Blumenthal, who served in the Clinton White House as a close political aide to the president and first lady, sent Clinton in December 2010 an article that his crazy son wrote about Islamophobia in the Republican Party, the Tea Party, and, quote, the Islamophobic crusade from the pro-Israel lobby. Now, remember, this is a major advisor to Hillary Clinton. I'll go on. Max Blumenthal attacked a number of individuals and groups for their financial or political support of Israel, as well as excoriating them for their criticism of radical Islamic terrorism. In response to a tweet from the Daily Caller's Jamie Weinstein asking the younger Blumenthal if he was an informal advisor to Clinton, Blumenthal said, "I warned her about the danger of hashtag JSIL, but she didn't listen." The JSIL hashtag means the Jewish State of Israel in the Levant. This is from a Jew. How many times have I told you liberal Jews are the greatest threat to the survival of Israel? How many times have I told you that liberal Jews are Jews in inheritance only? They don't believe in God. They believe only in liberalism as their only God. Their only God is Karl Marx. In June of 2010, Mr. Sid Blumenthal sent Hillary Clinton a piece that Max wrote about the Gaza-bound flotilla carrying pro-Palestinian thugs, which ended in a deadly raid by Israeli commandos after the flotilla refused to turn around when it attempted to break through Israel's coastal territory. There was another article that he sent. Max's piece described Israeli teenagers who spent their summer demolishing Palestinian structures in the Bedouin village of Al-Aqrab. Max calls it the summer camp of destruction. By September of 2010, Sid Blumenthal sent Clinton the preface to his son's book, Days of Rage, The Tea Party in America's Right. The older Blumenthal previously sent an email to Clinton a month earlier telling her about his son's new epilogue to the paperback edition of his previous book, Republican Gomorrah, The Right's Day of Rage. Sid sent Clinton a November 2010 email with a piece that his son Max writes that is critical of Dutch lawmaker Geert Wilders. Max describes Wilders as far right, whose agenda is comprised exclusively of xenophobic populism. Shall I go on? I don't want to go on. But he also wanted talk radio ended, I may as well read this to you to show you who the liberals really are. They're fascists through and through. They're self-haters through and through. And they're very, very dangerous for our survival. And Hillary Clinton is surrounded by them. This nut of Blumenthal, little Blumenthal, noted that while sitting on a panel at Tilburg University, he responded to a question about American media corporations and elections. And here's what he said, quote, Riemann asked me if the United States was a democracy given the rapidly rising influence of corporations over the media and elections. After two panelists had described Israel as a vibrant democracy, while another labeled Italy a non-democratic quasi-dictatorship, this is Blumenthal's son, I decided that our definition of democracy was subjective at best. So I sidestepped the question and outlined a few of the greatest blows to American democracy, listen now, from the elimination of the Fairness Doctrine to the Telecommunications Deregulation Act of the Citizens United SCOTUS decision. So this low-life leftist fool thinks that if they eliminated talk radio, it would be a better nation. Now, those of you who listen to me who don't agree with me, I want to ask you something. Do you think it would be a better nation if opposition voices like my own were not heard from? Do you really want to live in a country where there's only one position permitted to be disseminated? You want to live in North Korea? Well, I'll tell you what, I'll buy you a one-way ticket to North Korea if that's where you'd like to live. But I don't want to live in North Korea, do you? Why would you want voices of opposition eliminated unless you yourself are so weak-minded that you can't take an opposition viewpoint because there's no way to argue with it? Maybe I'm right and you're wrong. Here's another one, Economics 101. After raising minimum wage, Walmart cuts workers' hours. So you liberals, you don't understand the unintended consequences of your do-goodness. And this explains, of course, another aspect of the decline of America. Daily pot smoking on college campuses at 35-year high. Take a look at the morons with their hats on backwards, wearing sunglasses, thinking they're oh so cool, smoking pot on campus. And you wonder why we can't produce enough engineers of our own. You wonder why we can only produce artists, so-called artists, like a local high school here in Marin County that a number of years ago I roundly condemned. They took millions of dollars in funds that were raised from the community in Marin County to build not a new science lab, not a new tech lab, not a new IT lab, but a theater so the boys could jump around in tights at the pleasure of the drama coaches. That's America, a future of actors and actresses. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is the Savage Nation. And, of course, there's the baby body parts brokers at Planned Parenthood. In my opinion, a Nazi organization. I say that because who would you compare them to? Who would you compare these ladies of the night who are lower than the lowest on the planet in dealing with baby body parts? Can anyone answer that question? When you see these vermin selling intact fetuses, when you see them listing prices for fetal cadaverous specimen procurement, second trimester specimen, 13 to 24 weeks per specimen, $340. First trimester specimen, 8 to 12 weeks, $550. Blood specimen procurement. If it doesn't turn your stomach, then you have no soul. If you think Planned Parenthood is about women's health, then you're a brainwashed fool. It's about fascism of the worst order. And, you know, I always hear liberals that used to say, oh, a just society takes care of its most vulnerable. Remember that? That was popular in the 80s. Every time they try to defuse a conservative argument, they say, oh, a just society always takes care of its most vulnerable communities. Could anyone explain a community more vulnerable than the unborn? Can anyone listening to this show tell me that you actually support infanticide? Can anyone listening to this show tell me that that's about women's health? Well, I tell you, I don't see it that way. First of all, it's illegal to profit from the sale of baby parts. And as far as I'm concerned, all of them should be put in prison. Every one of them should be in prison for murder, for homicide. Planned Parenthood is planned infanticide, in my opinion. And it's a darn shame that we have no party called Republicans to do so. The twisted sisters, the drunks and the grifters in the Republican Party who are supporting Planned Parenthood are the same drunks and grifters who are trying to take down Donald Trump. I don't want to even talk about the video. One video shows a Planned Parenthood executive worried about being lowballed in the sale of the body parts of aborted babies. She also joked that she wanted I want a Lamborghini. And tell me what California is doing. The evil state of California under the most evil imaginable group of demonic left-wing fanatics. The Attorney General of the state of California is not going after the Nazis and Planned Parenthood. They're going after the filmmakers for violating the rights of the fascists who are doing this to the infant, to the fetuses. That's right. The Attorney General, Kamala Harris, who was appointed by none other than the sterling, respectable Willie Brown. That's right. That's the Attorney General of the once great state of California. 855-400-7282. Marshall hates me, says we'd be better off without you. Marshall, go ahead. I know you hate me, but you're on my show, so what do you listen for?
Michael, I just recently started listening.
Oh, that's so wonderful. You've made my day. I'm glad that I... So if you don't like me, why do you listen?
To understand why you say the things you do or try to understand.
Are you a psychiatrist?
No, but I'll tell you why I think we... I don't hate you, first of all. Again.
Well, no, you're too liberal to hate anyone. I get that.
It's an extreme statement that I object to, that you do so much.
Yeah, no, you're an extremely good man, so you could never admit that you hate anyone. But you called to say that we'd be better off without me. Tell me why.
Well, I don't hate you, and I object to your generalization. And I think that's one reason why...
Let me ask you, you like the generalizations of Barack Obama, who says that all cops are picking on minorities, or that all of the glaciers are melting because of man-caused global warming? What about those generalizations?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I had disclosed that Sid Blumenthal, a top advisor to Hillary Clinton, has a crazy liberal son named Max, who is a self-hating Jew, who hates Israel, and has advised Hillary of his hatred of Israel with missives. And in the midst of all these missives against Israel by Blumenthal's son, there was a lament that America lost its democracy primarily because of things such as the end of the Fairness Doctrine, which permitted shows like mine to emerge. And so I challenged the audience to call the show and say, do you really want to live in a country where there are no opposition opinions? Do you really want to live in a nation where there's only one position on everything, such as the crap you hear on NPR or on ABC, CBS, NBC, whatever? That's what you want to live in, with no alternate viewpoints? So a caller called from liberal Fort Lauderdale area, and he said, yes, we'd be better off without you, but unfortunately we lost him. I don't know where he is. I haven't any idea how a person can consider themselves a liberal and not want to expose themselves to opposition viewpoints. Now, he did say, I don't like your overgeneralizations, and I answered him, and I said, you mean you like the overgeneralizations of the left, such as Obama, with a broad brush saying all police are racists, or that man is destroying the planet? I mean, this is what you like? That's your idea of fairness? I mean, who would counter the liar in the White House? Who would counter the liars of the left if it wasn't for those on the right who are smart enough to take their arguments apart? Let me give you an example, all you good liberals out there. Just came out of Wisconsin. City Hall vows to end homeless washing underwear in water fountains and defecating on walls. The progressive enablers of Madison, Wisconsin have just about had it with a group they just made a protected class, the homeless. Vagrants have turned the city-county building into a commune. Right now, it's not a safe place. People are getting in fights. alcohol, illegal drug use, crapping in the fountain. This is what goes on in San Francisco. Which leads me to the next point. I spent two shows last week on San Francisco's debasement under the liberal regime that runs it. And this morning I was listening to the morning show on KSFO, my local radio station amongst the several hundred that I am on. And I heard a mention by the host who fills in for me quite often that people are fleeing California from an article. 5 million people left the state over the last few years, replaced primarily by illegal aliens. So taxpayers are running out of California. And then the article concludes in the Washington Times where they don't know why they're leaving. So I thought that was funny. And so I called the show and gave my opinions on why people are fleeing California. And Jim, if you have that one ready, I believe that's clip one. Would you play it, please?
Always love it when this happens. Of course, he's the guy that we've all been listening to on this station since the station went conservative in the 90s. And that is Dr. Michael Savage, starts on KSFO, and now he's basically worldwide. He has the largest streaming audience of any talk show in the world. There's Dr. Michael Savage. He joins us live right now. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Well, I was listening to you talk about why 5 million people fled California, and I had to call because, I mean, I think I understand this better than anybody, and I thought you may want my opinion. The reason people are fleeing California is because they don't appreciate the natural scent of human feces and urine in sophisticated San Francisco. You see, that's an acquired taste, Brian. And the folks who are leaving just don't have the artistic sensibilities required for that. They are also mean-spirited and don't want to share another 10 to 15% of their income on housing, feeding, medically treating illegal aliens. Those fleeing California are homophobic and do not wish to pay for sex reassignment surgery for prisoners. Also amongst these 5 million, Brian, you'll find retrograde who do not appreciate the science which proves that the European-American is racist, while all peoples of color, all of them, are kind, sensitive, artistic types, as taught in the public schools and colleges. And also, another reason that 5 million people are fleeing Jerry Brown's California is because they're Islamophobes who don't see the beauty of Islam as taught on campuses under Janet Sterno, whatever her name is, Janet Napolitano. So those are only 5 of the reasons. I could probably give you 50 more reasons why these people fled California, and frankly, good riddance to them. What the state needs are illegal aliens and, of course, cheap labor for Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook. That's the future of California. Cheap labor for Mark Zuckerberg.
Texas emerges as the top destinations for Californians fleeing the state. I was just kind of shocked when I'm reading this Washington Times story, and they said it's not entirely clear why Texas is so attractive to California migrants. Michael, you just hit it on the head. There are many reasons why people are leaving this state.
Oh, it has nothing to do with taxation and a lack of representation.
No.
No, nothing to do with that. No, they're moving there for the weather, no doubt. If the weather was as good in Texas as it is in California, I would have been there already. Of course, the weather's been so horrible here for the last 2 weeks, I may as well move to Florida. I don't understand that. Where does humidity? I'm sorry, global warming. The Pope's going to tell me that in a few weeks now. The expert on global warming. Don't you love the separation of church and state that America once enjoyed, now being lectured by this bouncer from the Vatican?
We are. We're being lectured by the bouncer from the Vatican. We're being lectured by the president and John Kerry yesterday up in Alaska, where the president unilaterally decides to rename Mount Whitney Denali.
I think that they ought to consider renaming Washington, D.C. to Obama, D.C., because look at what he's done for the nation. I mean, who's Washington? The founder of what? A racist pig nation? I mean, think about it. Naming it for George Washington?
Sure.
No, I think they renamed the nation's capital to Obama, the District of Columbia. And secondly, why District of Columbia? What does that have to do with anything now? No, I think he needs to rename most cities in America, according to his lexicon of left-wing fanaticism. You could Baltimore to Michelle, Maryland. Things like that. I mean, you know, he's only got almost 2 years left, a year and a half. Think about all of the good things he can do in that time.
I think the man is just beginning to become drunk on power, and I think in these latter months of his presidency, we're going to see more unilateral actions to further his transformation of America. What say you, Michael Savage?
Oh, please. Sorry. You must have read my mind last night as I slept. I railed yesterday for 3 straight hours on KSFO about what this man has done to the police of this country. The anti-police rhetoric has now yielded this epidemic of murder of white cops by black thugs. It's sickening. He did it. He, Sharpton, Holder, de Blasio. Do you remember the litany that went on? Do you remember how they attacked police over and over again? Remember the false narrative of Ferguson, which led to these movements of thugs under the guise of social activism? It's unbelievable to me what damage he has done. What about internationally? Look what he's done internationally.
Look at North Africa. Look at the Middle East. It's been completely turned upside down. Bad guys have been empowered. I'm looking at what's happening with ISIS. It frightens me to death. There's another Holocaust going on this planet, and no one's seemingly doing anything about it.
Well, look, Brian, you see, you're not thinking clearly. The reason the feminists say nothing about the rape, the wholesale, which I call industrial rape of young girls by their friends in ISIS, is because, well, I guess no one knows that it's even being done. Just as they don't know about babies' body parts being sold for profit by the Nazis in Planned Parenthood. Even Hitler's Germany didn't sell baby body parts. Do you know that? But the fascist Nazis in Planned Parenthood are actually at a level of humanity on par with that of the Holocaust, by the way. And I'll stand up to any professional Holocaust individual on that statement. I've never seen anything like this, the level of denial.
I'm hoping that we just got a little snapshot of what's going down on the Savage Show between 12 and 3 here on KSFO.
I wanted to kind of coast into the autumn here and to calm down, but this man is so demonic. The damage he is doing nationally and internationally is so devastating that unless we all start screaming, I don't know how much of this country will be left for our children.
When is the Republican Party, Michael Savage, going to get a clue? When you look at the latest polling, you see Trump and Carson and Fiorina. These are non-politicians sucking up all the oxygen. When are they going to get a grip on the fact that we're tired of politics as usual?
Well, first of all, I'm proud to announce Donald Trump is on my show tomorrow, Wednesday, on KSFO.
Oh, good.
And
good.
All the other stations. Not
okay.
Easy to get him on, even though I backed him from day one. You know, he's everywhere. When there is no Republican Party. It's nothing. It's a collection of lobbyists. You know that, and I know that. Which is why they're panicking, because the people have finally stood up to them with a real candidate. A couple of real candidates. I've always been a big fan of Ben Carson. It's interesting that he's a black man, no grip on the African-American community. Why is that? Well, it's an old story which we've talked about since the 1990s. Once a minority ceases to espouse left-wing viewpoints, he or she loses their minority status. Mm-hmm. They're of no use whatsoever to the left-wing, if you want to call it that. I would call it the left fascist juggernaut. Very useful to use them to bring it all down, girl. The minute that they're part of the nation and want to support the nation, contribute to the nation, they are of no interest to the Sidney Blumenthals of the world. Speaking of which, did you see what came out in Hillary's secret email release about Blumenthal's son?
Yes, yes, I did. We're going to talk about that in the next hour. Michael, we have a hard break, and certainly Michael knows what that is coming up.
All right, I'll be
all right, guys,
back for Nina. All right, you can cut it off. That was pretty good. Brian Sussman, always a pleasure to be on his show with Katie Green in the morning. And Brian fills in for me a lot. Actually, I think you should call him for Friday. I need a 3-day weekend. I think I'm going to go to Los Angeles for a few days to experience some culture and get out of this cesspool of San Francisco. I just love this city. It walks around with such pretense that it's somehow an artistic cultural center of the world. It's unbelievable to me what an out-of-town place this is. Maybe I never belonged here. Who knows? Maybe I'm a man out of step with the place. Who knows? But all I know is that I don't even go over the bridge anymore. Because every time I do, there are criminals, there are bums, there's feces, there's urine. Just this last Friday, for example, rush hour, a group of terrorists on bicycles blocked traffic on the Marina Boulevard as people were coming home from a hard day's work, would not let them get onto the bridge. These thugs on bicycles were driving backwards on the boulevard, freaking out drivers,
And a bunch of these thugs surrounded a woman in a little car, yelled at her, intimidated her. They're all cowards, these bicyclists, you know that, in these groups. I mean, I bicycle, but when you see groups like this, they're thugs, they're cowards. They surrounded her. They beat her car in with a tire chain, a bicycle lock, and broke her window. Now, wait, here's the punchline. When confronted by the police were asked why they haven't made an arrest of this thug who was caught on videotape, listen what the police in San Francisco said. They cannot make an arrest because no police report was filed. This is San Francisco under the one-party system of the Democrat-Socialist machine that has been allowed to metastasize into this cancer. And that's why I say to you, I didn't leave my heart in San Francisco. Believe me, we'll let it go at that. All right, let's go to the callers. A lot of new topics, some old ones. The phone number, if you care to join the conversation. Manhunt underway north of Chicago for three suspects in the murder of another police officer. They still haven't found the murderers. Three armed gunmen suspected in the murder this morning of a police officer shot during another traffic stop. And, of course, it's not happening in a vacuum, as I've expressed to you. These cop killers are happening because there's a climate that was created by you-know-who. By you-know-who. Line three, Vanessa, on my hometown of San Francisco, takes umbrage with me. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Oh, you're from San Francisco, and you're talking about it so badly. Hey, what's going on?
Ma'am, okay, go on to your point, please.
Hey, no offense to San Francisco, because I'm actually heading to San Francisco right now from Los Angeles.
Ma'am, I don't know what you're talking about. What did you call to say?
Okay, what I called to say was that you're over here saying that there's a lot of police being shot and all these things, but you're not pointing out the fact that there is a lot of crime right now targeting a certain amount, certain people, and we all know who it is, and I don't need to repeat it.
Wait, so you're saying it's okay to shoot police. You're justifying that?
That is not what I said. If you heard what I said...
Well, that's what you just said. You're justifying the murder of police. That's what you just said. I realize that you can't reason and that you never learn that there are consequences to what comes out of your mouth because you were educated, so-called, in the brainwashing academies called the school system. But what you just said justifies the shooting of police. Don't you understand that?
Go ahead. You wanted to talk about the school system. Yeah, that's why people are leaving California, because the school system, what about San Francisco? Teachers are not being paid enough, and why are people leaving? Because their kids cannot be educated. We are supposed to be an educated nation, but what is going on if California cannot come up with some teachers to teach our general...
Right, and why do you suppose that they're not teaching our children? What are they teaching in the schools? Hate America, hate the family, hate the church, hate God, hate police, hate white people? Have you seen the agenda in the San Francisco schools?
Of course not. That's not correct.
All right, I'm going to take a quick break. I mean, the yappy voice is enough to set me off for another hour. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Tony Bennett needs a raincoat and galoshes to walk down the street, I would imagine. Anyway, here we are, the end of hour two on the Savage Nation. And I have another huge hour across America with the privilege of speaking with so many millions of people. And I'd like to speak with you about all the issues of the day and also my musings on all the things that amuse me, including where I eat, what I watch on television. Yeah, let's see. I didn't tell you about my dinner last night in an Indian restaurant yet. I missed the buffet. You haven't heard the buffet talk. I've stopped going to Indian buffets. What do I watch on television? I haven't talked about the Ray Donovan episode, which I liked. It was great. The thing with the priest has got to be the high point of the show. I mean, it's unbelievable. The molestation deal with the sons and how it affected the three of them. And I got to tell you this, they got a new director for that episode of Ray Donovan. And Liev Schreiber's looking more rugged. Whoever did the last episode made Liev Schreiber look like a tougher guy. Either they filmed it all, I don't know, but something changed. He looks rugged. Either the cinematographer changed, directing changed, something changed since I started saying he looked like light in the loafers. From the beginning, I thought he was wrong. He looked great.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All right, called Under the Boardwalk, fine. Now, the reason I'm playing Under the Boardwalk is because during the break, I was scanning for new news. I didn't want to talk about the cop killers on the run or Obama on the sun, none of that. So I found this story. Pregnant French tourist makes public plea for mystery lover she met on vacation in Mooloolaba. A French tourist who said she had a whirlwind romance with a mystery man while on vacation 3 months ago on the Australian coast made a public plea today for information, yesterday, for information to lead her back to the man she believes impregnated her during their brief encounter. This is an hilariously funny story, and I'll tell you why. As love affairs that begin the last night of holiday go, writes the author of the article on Fox News. This is not a unique one. Natalie Amiot's vacation in Australia was coming to an end. She attended a party at an Irish pub near the beach and remembers meeting a man, and she said it was love at first sight, of course. He was tall, tanned from the beach, had blonde hair and piercing blue eyes. What else is new? A worker from the pub told Fox News that it is the pub's long-standing policy not to comment on those who fall in and out of love at their establishment. So they're going to have to take the young lady's word for it. She said, we had a beautiful night, but she can't find them. Why? You see, she left Australia the next day and landed in Paris. And when she looked to grab her phone, she realized it was lost, along with the phone number for the mystery man. She said, I have no way of contacting him. And 6 weeks later, I found out that I'm pregnant. Well, her 24-hour-old YouTube video has gone viral. And she started a Facebook page. She said she is back in Mooloolaba in search for the Australian man and posted a photo of the white shoreline pressed against the blue sky. One of the kind of Facebook commenters wrote this, such a beautiful place for dreams to become a reality. Have that faith. She gives preciously few details about the man and why it took her 3 months to begin the search. But the story offers all, what? Oh, all of us who hope that love could strike when you least expect it. And when it does, to give a chase, even as on a beach nearly 10,000 miles away. Amute said, there is only one happiness in life, to love and be loved. Well, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that's why she went back to Australia. I'm not so sure. I think there's a paternity lawsuit in her mind. But anyway, that's a little story that's a little off the topic, and it's a little change of pace. Going to talk about the manhunt for three suspected cop killers? No thanks. Let's see what else I'm not going to talk about that are in the headlines. Stock market down 500 points? No thanks. Dow 468 down. Obama's up there renaming mountains in Alaska. Yeah, okay. Manhunt underway. Clinton campaign caught on tape accepting foreign donation. Blah, blah, blah. Hillary intentionally originated and distributed highly classified information, rah, rah, rah. Kate Steinle's family to sue San Francisco and Sheriff Merky Comey and federal officials over sanctuary cities. Senator Merky Comey, I don't know how he still has a job. How does Mr. Merky Comey still have a job? I don't understand it. He's the one who released the Mexican into the population and who shot the girl, allegedly shot the girl. Allegedly shot the girl. Because the liberal defense attorney said that he didn't do the shooting. The gun did it itself. Maybe a ghost pulled the trigger. I don't really know. But I don't know how Sheriff Merky Comey keeps his job. I don't get it. All right, let's take some calls. Perry W. M-A-L, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, you and I, as I told your screen, and we're on the same sheet of music in a lot of ways. Matter of fact, the last time I spoke to you, I had mentioned something about what the nation needs to do when the nation needs to come back to God. And you even said we need to take it on the road. You preach first, or I preach the second wave, you know, something like that. But there's a couple of things, and you're very good for the country because you have an unparalleled love for this country. But then you got to kind of be balanced with your facts. Now, for instance, you had said in your montage yesterday about the head hold of the president and Minister Farrakhan and Sharpton, and saying these are the ones that are responsible. Now, I know I can only speak on one clip because I heard the whole speech. Minister Farrakhan never advocated killing a police. Never.
Hold on now. Now, you want facts? Then what was he saying? I want 10,000 amongst a million to kill those. What was he talking about?
What he was talking about in that speech, he was talking about, and this is just my opinion, he was talking about more scripturally, talking about when Jesus at the head of 10,000, because if we're going to be...
No, he wasn't. He wants them to go out and kill. I mean, we have the soundbite. I'm not going to play it again. Farrakhan clearly called for the murder. He called for murder. He said so. He screamed in the most horrendous voice, I want 10,000 men amongst a million to go out and kill those who oppress them. What was he talking about?
Okay, because there were two different points, number one. And number two, in that same speech, he said that don't bring any weapons that day. We don't need any weapons that day. We just, our unity.
Well, I only wish I could believe you, and I only wish that Farrakhan was a true preacher of peace. I don't believe it at all. I believe he preaches hatred and violence on a regular basis, and I think that unto itself, that's very, very dangerous for America, especially when he's doing it under the cloak of Islam.
Well, Dr. Savage, if you notice that we've been in existence over 80 years in America here, and the Nation of Islam, according to the Federal Bureau of Investigation reporting, not under this president, have detailed that, you know, while there's incendiary language or strong language, we don't carry as much as a penknife. We don't, you know.
I hope you're right. You sound like a man of peace. I wish that your brethren were the same.
No, very much so. I mean,
I think that the Nation of Islam can do good for individuals. I know that they preach against alcohol and drugs. That's a good thing. I get that. That's a wonderful thing. But when they go into the violence part, that's a bad thing.
And one more thing. I posted a picture on your Facebook page. Last week in Memphis, he had police officers that been helping out. They volunteered and helped out his escorting as he's going around, you know, with the motorcycles and everything. Black and white was in his suite. They were in a circle, all embraced and, you know, hand-holding and in prayer. You know what I mean?
All right, look, you're a member of the Nation of Islam. I'm not here to knock it. I'm not here to say you're wrong. I'm here to say to you, if it does good, I'm all for any religion. But when they start preaching killing and death and hatred, and it yields the killing of police, it's bad.
No, but he's definitely not about killing police. That is...
Who did he mean when he said, I want 10,000 men amongst a million to go out there? And he said kill. I have the tape. I don't want to play it again.
You mixed them two up. I'm going
to
give you...
So who was he saying when I want you to go out and kill? Who was he meaning when he said kill?
I want you to go out and kill. Number one. He said, yeah, I wish you...
No, wait. He did say it. I have the tape.
No, he didn't.
He said, I want you to go out and kill those who oppress you. Who was he referring to?
Go. He said, now, of course, if somebody oppresses you, meaning if somebody attacks...
No, you're changing the words of the actual sermon. The sermon said, I want you to go out and kill those who oppress you. That death is sweeter than life. It's sweeter than living in tyranny. Those don't seem like the words of an American preacher. They sound like the rhetoric. That sounds like the rhetoric coming out of ISIS.
No, it's not. Because if you ever read the Bible, you heard worse. But the point I'm making is...
Whoa, now you're mixing apples with oranges. Of course there's worse in the Bible. I've said it myself. The Old Testament is full of fire and brimstone. Only I'm not a biblical absolutist. If I were, everybody would be dead.
If anybody tries to kill you, you have the right to defend yourself, even if it means taking...
So who was Farrakhan referring to? Who was he referring to? Old ladies with umbrellas? He was referring obliquely to police.
No.
And he was sending out a signal, in my opinion, to go out there and kill police.
No. First of all, he has said too many things, the polar opposite of that, for you to take the...
All right, look, I understand you're a member of the Nation of Islam. God bless you for being so. Thank you for being a listener. But, you know, if you have any sway over your leader, perhaps you ought to clarify his remarks so that a few people who are not as kind and as good as you don't get the wrong impression.
But you know what?
In other words, if I, as a pretty skilled analyst, can be confused by his message, then I would think that there are others who might be a little mixed up by it.
If they didn't hear a carefully crafted clip, if they heard the whole thing, then they would understand the context. And what
he said, go out and kill those who oppress you. Who could he mean other than cops?
Now, you got to hear the whole thing that leads up to. And
I'd rather not hear the whole thing, truthfully. I'd rather not listen to it. I'd rather not listen to it anymore. I only wish that there were more men like you in the Nation of Islam who are peace-loving, who could bring peace to the world instead of murder and hatred.
Now, thank you for your time, but one more thing.
No, thank you. Thank you. It's good. It's good. Rarely does a man like that get to have so much time on my show. But actually, it's good to have him on the show. Listen, I'll tell you why. Didn't I say to you that liberals will listen to me? Why do you listen to me? And a guy calls from Florida, liberal Fort Lauderdale, and says, I would like you off the air, he says, because you overgeneralize. I said, what do you mean? You like the overgeneralizations of Obama about all of those topics that he speaks about? Or the Pope, for that matter, with his overgeneralizations? And, of course, unfortunately, we lost him, so we couldn't have that discussion. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. FTL, Florida. Robert, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Well, I was calling you because I like listening to you, but there's lots of times that I disagree. Especially, I'm kind of old school about the office of the president, and I feel that once we elect a president, we can disagree, but we don't have to call him a liar.
Excuse me, sir. How do you think you prevent dictatorships? You mean no matter what he does, we have an obligation to kiss his feet?
No, that's not what I said. I said that we can disagree with him in a gentlemanly way, but we have to...
Why? He's not a gentleman. He's a snake. He's just the most skilled snake I've ever seen in my life.
Call him a snake when you call him a liar.
Well, he is a liar and a snake, in my opinion. What should I call him? A man who I disagree with?
Exactly. You can disagree with him, but you
can't... Well, thank you for telling me what I can do and not do. I really appreciate the guidelines. Thank you. Appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. I'll print your guidelines up on the ceiling and follow them. I'll tell you something about snakes and liars. That unless they're really opposed and called out for who they are, they're going to destroy the nation. It's that simple. There is no way to deal with snakes and liars who are so skilled at being snakes and liars, other than to expose them for being a snake and a liar. And then you hope that millions of people will finally do something about it. Climate change, crime. It's beyond comprehension how crazy this man is. His agenda is so insane, it's hard to believe that people would not get agitated and call it like it is. I don't get it. What do you mean I have to respect the president? You mean if a murderous dictator would arise, I have to respect that as well? I didn't say he's a murderous dictator, but I said what? If a murderous dictator were to arise in the presidency, all you good liberals, what would happen if a right-winger becomes president? It didn't seem to control, you didn't seem to control yourselves when Ronald Reagan was president, or more closely when Bush was president. You couldn't shut your mouths bashing Bush, could you? Day and night, you called him every name under the sun. Suddenly, you didn't care about the dignity of the presidency, did you? But when it comes to this guy, oh, he's above the law. Why is he above the law? Tell me why he's above the law. I'll be right back to take your calls on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is the Savage Nation. I'm having a little trouble here technically. The sound is going up and down. Nothing's the same. But here's a little news for you, if you can hear me. I don't know if my microphone's even working. It looks like Obama's going to win on the Iran deal. So celebrate all you self-hating Jews who hate Israel. Obama picks up more support for Iran deal, needs only one more senator to prevail. Congratulations, all of you self-hating Jews. Two more Democrats announced support Tuesday for President Obama's giveaway to Iran, putting the White House a single senator away from assuring it can prevent Congress from scuttling the agreement and leaving GOP leaders hoping to avoid an even bigger embarrassment of losing to a filibuster. So that's it. He won again. It's that simple. He won again. Now, Iran will get the bomb. He won't be in office. And he'll leave the ticking time bomb in the hands of the Republican, a winner of the presidency, assuming it happens. It's astounding to me.
affordable health care, meaning socialized medicine, releasing terrorists from Guantanamo, granting favored nation status to Cuba, a terrorist nation, and now a bomb for Iran. These are great accomplishments, and it proves beyond a reasonable doubt that liberalism is a mental disorder. It's that simple. Affordable health care, socialized medicine that will bankrupt the nation. Who do you think is going to pay for the health care of all the illegal aliens who are pouring into the nation? You, you sap. Whatever happened to the terrorists they released from Guantanamo so far? They went back to the battlefield. What about normalizing relations with the Castros without demanding one person be released from the dungeons? Is that a good deal? What about giving Iran a bomb when they're the number one terrorist supporting nation on earth? No, the only thing this monster has succeeded in doing is weakening the nation. 15 more months for more damage. Iran will get $150 billion to go shopping for intercontinental ballistic missiles from Russia and China. And once the launching pad is ready, I'm sure all you liberals will have an umbrella provided by the Democrat Party. Don't worry about that. You'll be given an umbrella by the Democrat Party that will protect you from nuclear fallout. Well, you know, the liberals happen to have armed the Japanese prior to World War II. Did you know that? Oh, it's a long story. So now they're clearing the way to allow Iran to develop nuclear weapons. Is history repeating itself? What can I say to you? And here we are, my friends. The Savage Nation open for business as usual. Phone number 855-400-7282. Any topic is fair game. Any topic is fair game on the Savage Nation. I say bring back the death penalty for all cop killers. Any cop killer, automatic death penalty. Automatic death penalty within 2 years. One appeal, two appeals at most, and you get the chair. Or you get the needle. Death penalty for cop killers.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Financial talks about saving the polar bears. The Dow is down 400 points. We're talking about the war on police triggered by this radical administration well over a year ago as part of their overall plan to eliminate local police departments and federalize them, so that we have the equivalent of the SA and the SS reporting only to their Führer. That's how it works, you see? And if you like the way the Mexican federales operate, hey, get used to it, buddy, because that's what Obama has in mind for the United States of America. One gigantic federalized police force reporting to Al Sharpton. Can you imagine? You say it can't happen here? Well, my friends, wake up. It happened while you were here. Now let's go to my time in America. This would never have happened in my time when I was a kid. If a cop was shot in New York City when I was a boy, the entire city would come to a halt. And at the time, there were, what, 20 or 30,000 police? Every cop, whether they were off duty or on duty, would be called in, and there'd be an around-the-clock manhunt. And moreover, the underworld would put their own resources to finding that cop killer, because they understood that it was very bad for business. And so even the underworld, the criminals, work with the cops to get the cop killer. The criminals, the real criminals or the real criminal organizations, never, ever shot a cop. And when they did find him, let me tell you something. There was no bleeding heart lawyer from NYU or Columbia telling us about the bad childhood the cop killer had. Let me tell you something else. If we don't go back to the times that I lived in, there'll be no times for you to live in at all. Michael Savage wrote Stop the Coming Civil War a year ago. I warned you that Obama had an intention, and he has conducted a civil war against all civil aspects of this society from the day he seized power. From the day he was foisted upon us by forces we will never, ever comprehend, this man has had a vendetta against the institutions that have made this nation great. And one of the institutions that stands in the way of his total and complete takeover of this nation are the local police forces in the country. He has already decapitated the military, which is why they're not fighting ISIS. There's some grumbling down below the colonel level from those who say we could have knocked ISIS out in a week. But no one's asking questions in the media, are they, Mr. Roger Ailes, as to why the President of the United States is not taking down ISIS? Not yet a subject on the great Fox News network. I dismiss all the other networks because they were dismissed by the American people of a thinking nature a long time ago. But the last link that we had of any hope was the Fox News network until it was destroyed completely in the recent past by a new management and a new management style. It is now the CNN of our time. They will not ask the real questions, which is why is there a war on the police? Did Obama's rhetoric have anything to do with it? Why is ISIS still functioning? Why is the U.S. military never, ever, ever been given the targets of the training camps to attack? The U.S. Air Force could eliminate these training camps in a very, very short period of time, killing everybody in them or destroying them so they're useless. We even know where the camps are. I saw a map of them the other day. And yet your president, the commander-in-chief, will not offer a strike against them. I see it as clear as a bell. There is no doubt in my mind that this is an orchestrated war against the police that was triggered by the man in the White House. And I'm not asking anyone to agree or disagree. That is my opinion. It's that simple. I don't need any confirmation for what I see to be real. How do you like that? I'm not going to pretend that I really don't know what's going on and I need your opinion. I don't really need your opinion. I understand exactly what happened. I know that this maniac wants this to happen. Oh, I don't mean actually kill police. I know he gave some heartfelt statement last night about, let's see, which cop killing was that one? Oh, the one in Texas, that's right. When that white cop was shot in the back of the head by a black man. Yeah, I think even Obama had to come up from the ice cream and give a speech on that one. Well, now he's up in Alaska renaming mountains for political purposes. You understand what he's doing up there, don't you? He's a community organizer. He's organizing the Inuits who don't vote to make sure that they vote for a Democrat, socialist, Islamist from here on into the future. Do you understand what he's doing? He's agitating in Alaska. And so, again, here we are. Cops are dead. Another one dead. All because of the individuals I mentioned. I wake up today saying I'm not going to do it again. And then I wake up to this. Manhunt underway north of Chicago for three suspects in the murder of a police officer. Armed gunman. Traffic stop. Shot him. Stole his gun. Stole his gear and ran into the woods. No pictures yet of any of them. We don't know who they are. We don't know what they look like. They're described as two white males and one black male, but further than that, we don't know. Let's hope that there was some body cameras or helmet cameras in that department, which will show it, show who they are. And now there's a manhunt for the killers of another cop. And the reason there's open season on cops is because of the war on police that was started by Barack Obama, Eric Holder, who was then Attorney General and now is enjoying a multi-million dollar a year reward for his great work as a lawyer. Al Sharpton, the street thug, turned national political hero by Obama, and others who have called for a war on police. So criminals are no longer afraid of police for two reasons. They know that the police are intimidated by the vermin lawyers from NYU and Columbia who will put a policeman in jail for doing his job. You see, the new rule in America is the cop is hesitating, and as you well know, if you hesitate with a bad guy, you're going to lose. It's that simple. Well, that's exactly what Obama and Holder and Sharpton, de Blasio and others have wanted. And now there's a war on police who are reluctant to draw their gun, reluctant to take down a criminal for fear of a lawsuit by the vermin rats in the ACLU, all of whom should be deported and all of their assets seized, in my opinion. But you ought to thank God I'm only a talk show host with very strong and loud opinions. You ought to thank God I have no power in this country, because the first thing I would do is decouple the ACLU from the legal system. That is the first thing that needs to be done. Decouple these communist rats from the legal system. Were they ever elected? Did you ever go to a polling place and were you given an option to vote for these communist anti-American vermin, these anti-Christian lawyers, these anti-American lawyers? Have you ever been given that option? And yet they're more powerful than the Supreme Court in determining which way this nation goes. One of the first things I would do is I would immediately indict them for various crimes and let them defend themselves. That's the first thing I would do. But I'm not a presidential candidate. I'm only a talk show host. It's one man's opinion. Never forget that. So Obama's up in Alaska renaming mountains and putting out the fraudulent information about global warming in order to push that lie. I'll give you a little evidence to that effect if you're a doubter about what I'm saying to you. He's up there talking about global warming and how the world's coming to an end, melting sea ice and this and that. And at the same time, story on CNN says Obama wants new Coast Guard icebreakers in the Arctic. So I scratched my head. I said, wait a minute. If all the ice is melting because of global warming, I thought, why does their leader, dear leader, need new icebreakers? Because he's a liar. That's all. A liar and a fraud. It's as simple as that. See, the United States once had seven icebreakers in its fleet. But now because the military has been downsized and deballed, it has only two icebreakers that are functional. Russia has 40 icebreakers, with 11 more planned under construction. And so, Presidente will call on Congress to approve funding for replacing a new heavy icebreaker by 2020. Now, what does he need icebreakers for? They're designed to cut through open water ice and are in high demand as industries push closer to exploration of either of the Earth's poles, according to the Coast Guard. So, in other words, the glaciers are melting. They're going to disappear. The animals are going to all die, but they need icebreakers anyway. Which one is true, Mr. Obama? The answer is, can you ever get the truth out of a skilled liar, a rhetorician like him? But let's go back to the war on police, which he triggered, in order to make certain that police resign, police are intimidated, his thugs are empowered in the streets. Do you understand how dangerous this is for you, the average citizen? I was recently in New York, 2 weeks ago, and on the surface, New York is a beautiful city. But right under the surface, there is a menacing presence that can be felt by anyone who has a nervous system. Right under the surface, there are the guys with the cups, shaking the cups in your face. Right outside Central Park, right inside Central Park, up and down 7th Avenue. They're shaking the cups, but I guarantee you they have a box cutter inside their coat. And I guarantee you they'll cut your purse right off your body or cut the wallet right out of your pants if they sense that you're weak and that you have something of value. It's a jungle that is kept in check only by the police, the thin blue line, which de Blasio has attacked repeatedly along with his leftist cohorts. And you know, there are consequences to rhetoric. The consequences now are dead police. But now we go back to the war on police. And the reason Obama wants a war on police is so evident to anyone with the ability to reason that I'll lay it out for you if you can't think. And it's as simple as this. He wants to show how bad the police are against minorities. You see, most of the police in America are white. And that's a crime to Barack Obama. You understand that. He has a racial lens on his iris. And he can only see things through a racial lens. It's worked for him. If you read his own autobiography, he said he really didn't have a racial consciousness when he was a young biracial man in Hawaii. He never thought about it. And then something happened after being a pot-smoking, wayward youth in Pepperdine University, I believe, when he was an ordinary American kid, not political, he said in his own autobiography. He went to Columbia University, a once great university, which has become a cesspool of anti-Americanism. And at Columbia University, he joined in with the communists, the white commies and the black radicals, and he grew his hair out. He said his own words now, I'm not making anything up. And he said he noticed something happened. People were suddenly paying attention to him in a different way. And look where it got him. Just look how far it got him. It worked for him. Now, if you were him, would you stop the rhetoric of your youth if it's made you the president of the United States? What would have you stop it? It doesn't matter how many countries die or how many people die. All that matters is that you're having a grand old narcissistic time. And on that note, I'll take a break. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Let me go from the war on police being conducted by the federal government and their liberal cohorts. Another cop was shot dead. Manhunt, of course, underway. I want to read you some of the stories and headlines on MichaelSavage.com. Donald Trump on Savage Show tomorrow, Wednesday, which is a picture of myself and Mr. Trump. And, of course, my dog, Teddy. I say, of course, because he's always with me wherever he can be. And it's a great picture. Next one says 59% back Trump on deportation of illegals. Really, that's shocking. Now, here's an interesting story I stumbled upon this morning. Virginia environmentalist follows in Soros and buys into beleaguered fossil fuel. Another phony. Another billionaire environmentalist who made a fortune in another field is now buying bankrupt St. Louis-based Patriot Coal for $400 million following a major investment in coal by the billionaire liberal activist George Soros. So they ran the price of coal down by running coal out of America, and then they ran in and scooped up the coal companies. Here is a tragically horrendous story. Murder of elderly couple in Sicily fuels Italy's growing anti-immigrant sentiment from the London Telegraph. And take a guess who slit the throats of this elderly couple in Sicily. They were pensioners. They had worked all their lives in Germany in a Mercedes plant. They went home to live out the few years they had left in Sicily. An 18-year-old African migrant from the Ivory Coast, who was in Italy only a short period of time, allegedly slit the throat of Vincenzo Solano, 68, and then attacked his wife, Mercedes Ibanez, 70. Mrs. Ibanez fell to her death from a second-floor balcony as she ran away from the robbers. The murderer, or the alleged murderer, the African asylum seeker from the Ivory Coast, Mr. Kamara, is one of thousands of illegal aliens and refugees living at nearby Mineo in southeastern Sicily. They're arriving by boat from Libya. And I'll just rest my case right there. I ran into a young Sicilian young man a few months ago working in a restaurant that my friend owns in San Francisco. And I asked him, why did you leave Sicily? Your family is there. Don't you miss? He said, I miss my family and friends very much. He said, but there's no work for me in Sicily. They're giving whatever little work there is to illegal aliens from Africa. I said, who's giving them the jobs? He said, the liberals in Sicily. I said, liberals in Sicily? He said, yes. The liberals in Sicily have taken over the government. So what's left? More than 100,000 refugees have arrived by boat in Italy this year. Can you, anyone listening to this show tell me that Europe will survive another 20 years? Can anyone listening to the show tell me that Europe will be a civilized place in 20 years? Can anyone listening to the show tell me there will be new art of the magnitude that Europe is world famous for? Or will Europe descend into chaos and become another third world hellhole, all a result of the liberalism that has plagued and infected the entire Western world? Gianluca Bonanno with the Northern League, a staunchly anti-immigrant party of the right, says Italians fear for their lives inside their own homes. And he said, this is Renzi's national security strategy. What kind of country are we living in? We can ask the same question about Obama. What kind of country are we living in when we have no national security strategy? When he is flooding America with illegal aliens and refusing to take the war to the enemy called ISIS. A relative told La Stampa newspaper the murdered couple had returned from living in Germany to enjoy their retirement in Sicily. They shouldn't have died like this, slaughtered like goats. And there, my friends, is the face of Europe under the EU thugs operating in a bubble. Also on MichaelSavage.com on the top left is a picture of myself with a new hat, new suit, new shirt, new smile with my new book, Government Zero, which will not be out until October. I wish we could move it up because it's my most important and my last nonfiction book. It follows Stop the Coming Civil War. The subtitle says it all, no borders, no language, no culture. But if it was just a repeat of what I had written before, I wouldn't have written it. And I don't want to go into it now because it's too soon, but I would recommend this. If you're a collector of Michael Savage's books and you want to get this last nonfiction book and you want a first printing of it, buy it now on Amazon or one of the other sites where it can be available.
Savage.